Morning, Mom Laka. I know you're home, but I'm inviting all of you to join us as you have joined us. Our reading today is found in the book of Psalms 86. Psalms 86. And we read from verses 15. And this is the word of the Lord. But you, O Lord, are compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, and abounding in love and faithfulness. Again, that is Psalm 86, verses 15. And then now we are going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you have been with us from the last week's message, we are going through the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And today we are going to read from verses 4 through 7. Verses 4 through 7. And this is the word of the Lord. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily provoked. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. May the Lord bless his word.
Amen. Just the Bible. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Muthoni, for reading for us the scripture, the living word of God. It is really a privilege and an honor for me to be sharing God's word today, this morning. We certainly do miss all of you here at Ruaka campus, and we are looking forward to when God miraculously is going to remove this disease so that we can do what church was designed to be all about, people gathering together and fellowshipping and encouraging one another. We certainly do miss you again. I just want to express my gratitude to the senior pastor here at Ruaka campus, Pastor Lovi, for the wonderful work that he's doing in terms of just helping us to stay connected with God's word and to stay connected with one another through this medium, through sharing of God's word and encouraging you wherever you are. Last week, we began a message, or rather messages, based on the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. Perhaps one of the greatest passages of scripture or literature penned down on the subject of love. And we have made a point of turning our attention to speak about the subject of love, especially in these days that we live in. Because, as we said last week, love is a trademark that God has established by which the children of God or the people of God are known to belong to him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "By this will all men know that you belong to me, if you have love one for the other." And I would add that I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was also referring to not just love among believers, but love that is extended by believers to all people in the world. You see, God has called us, his people, to be a model of godliness in a very wicked world. And I believe that love is perhaps one of the most visible way of showing that godliness to our world. I would say that love is perhaps one of the greatest, one of the most effective tools for evangelism that every child of God needs to carry, needs to have in his day-to-day walk, because we have been called by God to be propagators of the gospel of Christ, to tell people about God, to bring people to the saving knowledge of Christ. And love, when we wear love, it helps us to be able to communicate that gospel effectively. No wonder God says that people will know that you belong to me if you have love one for the other. So we jumped into this book of 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, did a fantastic job of being able to help us to understand what does it mean to love. What does it mean to love? Paul, in this passage of Scripture, does not just say to us, love one another, love people. He does a fantastic job of helping us by defining the word love. And he defines it not in abstracts. The Apostle Paul defines or describes the word love as being in action. It is demonstrative. It's not dull or sterile. It's a love that is in action. In fact, in this passage of Scripture, he gives us 15 characteristics of what this love does and what this love doesn't do. So that as we walk in 1 Corinthians 13, we don't just walk out and say, oh, it is such a nice thing to love one another. We walk out of this passage of Scripture knowing what that love really, really means, so that we can be able to apply it in our lives, so that people who are around us can know that we are men and women who belong to a loving God. So in the next maybe week or so, we are going to look at these characteristics, some of them that the Apostle Paul lists in this passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The first one that I want us to look at is in verse 4, where the Apostle Paul, in describing this love, says to us, love is patient. This agape love that every child of God needs to be characterized with is a love that is patient. Other versions say love is long-suffering. What does he mean when he says that love is patient? You see, in colloquial English, we have the phrase short-tempered, which we use to refer to a person who has, so to speak, a short fuse, or a person who gets angry pretty quickly. But we do not have a phrase that says long-tempered, to refer to a person who gets angry, or rather a person who doesn't get angry pretty quickly. But the original Greek word for patience, the word makrothumia, literally meant just that, long-tempered. The first part of that word makrothumio, the word makros, means long, or in the far distance. The second part of that word, thumio or thumos, means to be heated or hot. And so we could simply say, literally, that makrothumio, from which we get the word, our English word thermometer, simply means a person, or it refers to a person who takes a long time to get heated, to get hot, so to speak. Or we could say that a child of God, a believer, a Christian, is a person who takes a long time before reaching the boiling point as far as temper is concerned. In other words, there is a distance, a long distance, between the time that a person offends me, between the time a person deeply hurt me, and the time that I react to that offense. The time that I react towards or towards that hurt that a person does in my life. Macrothumio was a special word that was used in dealing with irregular people, problematic people, rude people, critical people, people, so to speak, who are hard to live with and to work with. But in the positive, macrothumio was a word that was used and is used more often, both in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, to refer to God's long-suffering, patient love towards his people. You see, the story of Israel is a record of God's long-suffering, patient love to a disobedient, disloyal, rebellious people. Time and time again, God consistently expressed his patience with the people of Israel, people who from time to time were disobedient, were rebellious, did not adhere to what God expected of them. And yet we read God time and time and time again expressing his patience with them. The psalmist celebrates God's patience, God's long-suffering in the book of Psalms, throughout the book of Psalms. In Psalms chapter 86, the passage of scripture that Muthoni read for us earlier, the psalmist declares of God in celebrating God's long-suffering spirit and character. And he says, "O Lord, you are full of compassion. You are full of compassion. And you are gracious." And then the psalmist says, "You are long-suffering. You are a very patient God, full of mercy and faithfulness." You see, God was patient with these unbelieving, disobedient, rebellious people of Israel time and time again. And even when judgment came upon the people of Israel, there was no doubt that God had been incredibly patient with them. He had shown great patience with the people of Israel. You know, when you think about it, God is incredibly patient. He is long-suffering. If you think about your life and you think about the holiness of God and you think about your day-to-day life as compared to God's expectation of you, if you are like me, you probably will come to a conclusion that God, who is holy, is indeed very patient. He is truly long-suffering. When you think about the world in which we live in, a world that is wicked, a world that is filled with hatred, racism, and in our context, tribalism, a world that is filled with immorality in our streets and in our neighborhoods, and you think about the God who made this universe, God who is a holy God, you cannot help but come to a conclusion. God is truly long-suffering. He is patient. You have probably heard of the story of a man by the name Robert Ingalls. Robert Ingersoll was an English atheist. He didn't believe in the existence of God. And he was not ashamed to declare his disbelief in God's existence, especially because he lived at a time when England was very conservative, so to speak, in quote-unquote, very Christian. But here was a man who stood before crowds of people, and he would declare to people, "God doesn't exist. There's no God." One time he was standing in front of a large crowd of people, And in front of a podium, he said, "Today, I am going to prove to you once and for all that God doesn't exist. There is no God." He said to the crowd, "I want to give a challenge to those of you who believe in the existence of God. I want to give your God a challenge." He said, "I'm going to ask him to strike me dead in the next 5 minutes. And then he proceeded to say, "I can assure you, in 5 minutes, I'll be standing here alive and well." And so he paused. And for the next 5 minutes, there was silence in this big auditorium filled with people. You could hear a pin drop as people waited patiently, so to speak, for Robert Ingersoll to be struck dead by God. Now, some of you guessed it right. 5 minutes later, Robert Ingersoll was standing alive and well in front of the podium. He looked at the crowd and said, "You see, I am alive and well. Tonight, I have proved to you that God does not exist. There is no God." Now, quite a number of people in the crowd were moved by what happened that evening. In fact, one person went to his pastor and said, "You must agree with me that Robert Ingersoll proved something tonight." And the pastor said politely to him, "Indeed, you are right. Robert Ingersoll, that atheist, proved something tonight. He proved that even the most defiant sinner cannot exhaust the patience of God in 5 minutes." You see, our God is incredibly patient and long-suffering. We cannot exhaust his patience in 5 minutes. I like the words of Jeremiah, who said in the book of Lamentation, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end." And then he concluded by saying, "They are new every morning." You cannot exhaust the patience and the long-suffering character of God in just 5 minutes. And the Apostle Paul comes now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he says to us who are followers of Jesus Christ, he says, this character of God, this long-suffering patience of God that is so evident and has always been evident in life, you as a child of God, you are to clothe yourself with it. He says, love is patient. He writes this in the context of encouraging us as believers to be a people who are a people of agape love. And he says that this love, practically this love, is a love that exercises patience towards people who offend us, people who hurt us, people who deal with us unfairly. He says, love is patient. You know, when we were talking about love last week as we introduced this subject, we said that agape or agape love was not a word that was very commonly used among the Greeks. And the reason for that is because, part of that was because agape love involves patience and long-suffering. The Greeks did not look at patience as a virtue that is highly valued. In fact, they looked at it as a weakness, something that perhaps you and I would say, if I am patient with someone who offends me, if I exercise this long-suffering character, I am going to be stepped upon. I'm going to be taken advantage of. In fact, among the Greeks, you probably are familiar with the great Greek philosopher by the name Aristotle. He's the one who came up with this philosophy where he used to say regarding things that have to do with love, he would say refusal to tolerate any insult and hurt and readiness to strike and take revenge at any offense was a great virtue. For Aristotle, the person who could not stand insult and hurt but got back to the person who offended was a man of great virtue. When you think about that, and you think about the generation in which we live in today, that hasn't changed much. Most of us were raised to believe that if someone steps on you, if someone slaps you, you get back at them and you hit back. But then the Apostle Paul comes and says, have you believed in Jesus Christ? Is Jesus your Savior? Then you are to clothe yourself with agape love, which is seen by you practicing, extending patient love towards someone who offends you. You know, I heard a story that is powerful that happened not long time ago. It's about a lady whose husband left and went like the prodigal son in the Bible to spend all their earnings. He disappeared for months and years and enjoyed himself, so to speak, in life. And as things would turn out, he ended up losing everything. His job, he lost his job and many other things in life. On the other hand, this lady with four children struggled through life and by God's grace prospered and was able not only to take care of herself and her children, but she had plenty. And word came to her that, you know, your husband who left you is homeless. He is in trouble. He has nothing to eat. The story goes that she and her husband never came back together to be husband and wife again. But it says that she reached out to him and she ensured that she helped him to get back on his feet and to be able to live again a decent life. Christendom, an ancient writer, said of this word patient that it is a word that is used of a man or a woman who is offended, who is deeply hurt, and at some time in life finds himself or herself in a position of being able to revenge, but decides not to revenge, but instead to extend grace and mercy, and so to speak, loving patience. One of the best stories in the Bible that help for us to understand the place of patience is a story that we find in the book of Genesis chapter 33. It's a story about two brothers. They were twins, Esau and Jacob, born to Isaac and Sarah. We know much about Jacob, but we don't know much about Esau. We don't talk much about Esau. But Esau, in this story, exhibited great patient love towards his brother Jacob. If you know the story, you recall that Jacob deeply hurt Esau. He deceived his father Isaac and managed to steal the blessing of birthright that belonged to Esau. And then he fled to a far country where he lived for so many years. Eventually, he decided to return back home. And Jacob was so afraid that somehow Esau had kept this evil that he had done in his heart, and that Esau was now going to take revenge for what Jacob had done. In verse 4 of Genesis chapter 3, though, we are told that when Esau saw Jacob coming, he ran to meet him, and he threw his arms around his neck. And he tells us he kissed him. You see, Jacob had offended Esau, deeply hurt him, and fled. But Esau, at this moment, the Bible, the story tells us that he had 300 strong men. He was in a position, because Jacob had only a few servants and his family, he was in a position to take revenge and to destroy Jacob once and for all. But we see Esau extending patient, long-suffering love towards his brother. Later on, Jacob said to Esau, he made a very strong statement. He said to Esau, "Esau, seeing your face is like seeing the face of God. Seeing your face is like seeing the face of God." In other words, Esau, the way that you have extended patient love towards me, even though I deeply hurt you, reminds me of God's patience towards me. Now, I don't know if Nelson Mandela was a Christian or not. I never heard him testify of his faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But he is the one who made a statement that is very consistent with patience. He said, upon becoming the president of South Africa, he said, "To avenge myself is to reduce myself to the same level with those who committed these atrocities towards me and my people." Do you, in your dealings with people around you, people you meet in the streets, people who live in your neighborhoods, people you work with, people you live with, do you remind people of God's loving, long-suffering patience? Or are you one who explodes and harbors hate and tries to find ways that you can get back at that one who offended you, at those people that deeply hurt you? You see, this love, agape love, has seen in its characteristics of patience, gives you and I, as children of God, the capacity to put up with the most difficult people. I am sure you'd agree with me that it's almost impossible to live in this world and not rub shoulders with difficult, problematic, irregular, critical, rude people, people difficult to live with. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that in this world, you'll experience many problems. You'll experience trouble. And I want to believe that part of those troubles that we experience in life, we experience them as a result of difficult people who make life difficult for us. People who do not appreciate our positions. People who do not appreciate who we are. People who do not appreciate what God has done in our lives and make life difficult. And yet, agape love for a child of God who carries the gospel of Christ and who has been commanded to carry this gospel to the ends of the earth is one who needs to clothe himself, herself, with patience, with agape love. It gives us the capacity to deal with the most difficult people in the world. You see, it is patient love that will give you the capacity to deal with that wayward child of yours. That child who is disobedient and rebellious. That child who is smoking things that they shouldn't be smoking. That child who no longer listens to you. You can only be able to deal with that child because you clothe yourself with patience. and you express patient love towards them. It is this patient love that will give you the capacity to deal with difficult people that you may live with. Maybe your spouse is not the easiest person to live with, and you find yourself in what would describe a difficult marriage. As a child of God, as you put on this agape love, this long-suffering spirit, God enables you through that to be able to deal with that difficult spouse. It is this patient love that will give you the capacity to deal with a rude, careless drivers that you encounter on the road every single day that you're driving. It is patient love that will give you that capacity to be able to deal with those kind of people. It is patient love that will give you the capacity to deal with that business person who defrauded you, who conned you, who robbed you. It is patient love that will help us to deal with all the kind of evil things that we're dealing with. Last night I was listening to the news of people or someone who was gunned down somewhere in the Rift Valley. And there was the wife on the TV set expressing her deep sorrow over the loss of her husband. And I said to myself, how can she be able to deal with this difficulty of her husband who has been gunned down? It's only if she can be able to draw from the source of agape love, God himself, this patience and put it on herself to be able to continue in life. Agape love. See, this is a love that is not a love of the emotions. This is a love that is prompted in our minds and in our hearts by God, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, who enables us to be able to live with difficult people, to be able to live in a difficult world. So, before you say, it is impossible to have that kind of love, I want you to know that as a child of God, God has given you God, the Holy Spirit, who lives in us, who dwells in us in this world, and his work in our lives is to strengthen us and to help us to do things that otherwise we wouldn't be able to do, things that God has called us to do. You and I can be able to rely on him. Would you call on the Lord and say, God, I am weak in this area. Would you help me to have this patient love so that I can be able to extend it to someone who offended me, someone who hurt me? Or give it to me so that in future, if I ever encounter hurt or pain, I'll be able to extend it. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you.